I'm Brett Hayworth, and welcome to What's Your Frequency, our weekly show on Siouxland Public Media. We're about to head into the fall 2025 election cycle in Iowa. The elections held in Iowa on odd number of years are perhaps not as grabbing as the even near general elections, but the races this fall to be decided on November 4th are important too. Those elections will determine the compositions of city councils and public school boards and also mayor contests. This What's a Frequency show is devoted to recapping the races and the important dates in the election that will be held over the next 2 months, but we're also having a broader discussion with Woodbury County election officials. My guests are Woodbury County Auditor Michelle Scaff, who was elected to a four-year term about 10 months ago, and the Chief Elections Deputy Commissioner, I guess, in the Auditor's Office, who is Steve Hoffmeyer. So thank you both for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
And I've known both of you guys for several years for your roles in the auditor's office, and I just want to just start by saying thank you for all the help that you've given me over the years with lots of calls on the day leading up to elections and then, you know, days of elections and voter registration, all, you know, how the day has gone, et cetera. So anyway, thank you for all that.
Thank you.
And to begin, Michelle Scaff, your election marked a big change from the prior county auditor. You're a Republican, and you ousted Democrat Pat Gill, who had served in the position for 28 years. How have you enjoyed the first year, and how would you say the first year is going for you?
Yeah, I think the first year is going great. I've been very, very busy. We had the special election, which, threw me into the elections right out of the gate, basically.
That was about a month ago, and that was for the Iowa Senate District 1, correct?
Yes, okay. Iowa State Senate District 1. Have great staff. All of the staff has remained the same since I've taken office. Steve, Deputy Commissioner of Election, has been amazing in helping show me the ropes of the election side. As many of you may know, I came from the finance side of the auditor's office, so I did appoint a deputy there. She worked in the office for about 6 months. Her name is Shona Campbell. She's doing a phenomenal job with the finance, taking over the shoes that I used to wear. I also have a deputy in the recorder's office, as you know, the Woodbury County's elected auditor recorder, and Diane Swoboda-Peterson is the deputy on that side. And she's doing a great job. She actually just came back from a conference. It's a national conference called PREA, and she won the highest award from that conference that helps promote national recording standards. So very proud of her. She's done a great job, and it's great staff that I have.
Okay, thank you. And for you, Steve Hoffmeyer, how did you come to work for the county's auditors team? I can't remember what year that was, but what was your career path before that, and how did you come to work for the county?
Before that, I had worked for a couple of different companies. I worked for Williams & Company in accounting. I also worked for Holcomb Freightliner, a truck dealership here in Sioux City. However, they were bought out by iState, so my position was eliminated. That's when I started at the auditor's office back in 2011. Okay. So and interviewed with Pat.
And typically, what are your tasks as the deputy commissioner for the elections?
Basically, everything and anything, you know, concerning elections, from, you know, help making sure all the voter registrations are processed and updated. When we get close to the elections, you know, we have to deal with the absentee requests, the designing of the ballot, getting it proofed and printed, testing machines for the elections, delivering and picking up machines before and after the election, just everything involved with that.
Okay, thank you, thank you. And I know there are other tasks, as you just said, Michelle Scaff, that other county auditors do in Iowa's 99 counties. But can you generally just describe how elections are carried out by staffs in the state? So it's not, you know, elections in America are not, it's not a federal, you know, this is local counties who are making the ballots and then counting the ballots. But can you just describe?
The election laws are set by the state. So each state may have different laws regarding elections. And so you may go over to South Dakota or Nebraska and see some different practices. But basically in Iowa, the auditor has a little bit of discretion the way things are, but much of it is guided by the law. So you have to follow what is in legislation regarding running the elections. And of course, we all know that legislation changes all the time. So we always have to be on top of the latest as far as what is going on with the election. Steve's been in the office for
14
years now. And so he's been through probably, over 20 elections or more. And so he's very knowledgeable about running the elections. We have two clerks in the office. Kim has been there for longer than Steve, so she's been there for quite some time. And Danielle's the other clerk. When you come into the office, she's the first person that will greet you. And so basically, elections in Woodbury County only has myself and then the three full-time employees. And there's a lot involved with it as far as taking the registrations, managing when the election is going on, and so forth. So during an election, we actually hire some temps that will come in. We have about one or two temps on this type of election that we're coming up to, the primary for the city. And then we also have the precinct election officials, or PEOs, as you may hear them called. And for the special election, we had 50 PEOs. For the primary that's coming up, we've invited 78 PEOs. And then we also have four individuals that work the absentee board. So they will count those ballots on election night, on election day.
And I was going to get into this later, but we might as well go there now since you're talking about it, Michelle Scaff. I think of those as temporary or seasonal for an election. They're basically working election day. Am I correct with that or not?
Yeah, the PEOs, we're required to provide them with training. So they do come in for a couple of different training sessions. We train them on how to use the iPads, which is where they check people in. A person will scan their driver's license, and the PEO is trained on how to use that, how to identify if that voter is voting in the right location, what to do if they're not, what to do in different scenarios. And then they're also provided a general training about the election that's coming up, that they all come. We actually come to Western Iowa Tech to the auditorium and train them on that. So they'll be paid for those items. And then on election day, they have a very long day, which is from 6 in the morning until the election is over, which ends up being around 9 or so. The election ends at 8, but then they still have a few tasks that they have to perform and bring the ballots and some of the equipment back to the office.
And what was the number again of those? You said 50, we 70?
We had 50 for the special election. We're inviting 78 for the city primary, and it all depends on the election, how large the election is, on how many PEOs we will hire for.
Is it more for like a general election on an even number year? Do you have more poll workers on those days?
Definitely. I don't know. Steve, do you have any statistics approximately on those?
I don't have any.
Roughly.
Yeah, I don't know the statistics, but we usually have an additional one or two people per polling location just because the traffic is higher. We usually will send out maybe additional iPads for check-in purposes, too, just so we can handle the higher flow of people going through. So,
and you're making me remember back again when I was a print reporter working at covering the Woodbury County supervisors. I remember Auditor Gill talking about just needing to raise the pay. I don't know if this was 10 years ago, 12 years ago, but a few years ago, mm-hmm. And just to entice more people to fill the position. So are you filled the way you want to be typically? I know this is just the first year and such, and mm-hmm. You're going through, you know, maybe not as big as a general election, but are you? Think you'll be set for November with the people you have?
I think we'll be able to find them. We do have a lot of people in Sioux City, and we try to have the PEOs be the individuals that live within the precinct. It's kind of like that neighbor atmosphere where if you live in that neighborhood, you might recognize those voters coming in. And it's a very friendly environment. If you've ever kind of hung out at any of the polling locations, the PEOs are very helpful. They're very happy. They just want to be there, and they just want to help the individuals come in and go through the process. And for the most part, what I've seen in this election that we just finished is I went to all of those polling locations and just seemed like I was very, very pleased with how positive the environment was there. I did want to mention about the amount of PEOs we get. The Secretary of State pushes out quite often, sign up to be a poll worker, and we do get sign-ups quite frequently, you know, a few a week that we add to our list. Probably the area that we could use more people is the rural area. So we have precincts in a lot of the rural areas, you know, so that when we have those elections out there, which will be coming up in November for the city school election, that's probably where we could use a bigger pool of people. We have a lot of people who have a lot of experience. They've worked those polling locations for a long time, and it's wonderful to have that experience out there. And I'm trying to make sure that we get new people in with those seasoned individuals so that they can learn from them.
Yeah, because I think typically what you'll see is the poll workers are typically somewhat advanced in age, and it's not necessarily a ton of young people that are doing it. But you'd like to maybe have it more, I guess, evened out?
Well, and I don't think the age really matters, just the experience. Okay. To make sure that we have a good pool of people that, so not all the same people can work every election. So we would just want a large pool of people that are familiar with working as a PEO. And the more often they're able to do it, the better they're going to be, the more knowledgeable they'll be about the topic.
And the voice you just heard there was Michelle Scaff. And I, one more question before we get to this next break. I think I didn't quite ask this question correctly, but how much are the polling workers paid per hour?
The chair people currently get paid $17 an hour.
Okay.
And then the other PEOs that work under the chair are $15 an hour.
Okay.
And like you said, it was a few years back that raise happened. Before that, I think they were at 13 and 15,
okay,
respectively. But, you know, we do hear from some of them sometimes that they, you know, would like to have another increase. So,
thank you, Steve Hoffmeyer. My guests for this What's a Frequency show are Woodbury County Auditor Michelle Scaff and the Chief Elections Deputy in the Auditor's Office with Steve Hoffmeyer. We're here discussing the fall elections that are ahead and more on how elections are carried out as we've just been talking, and we'll talk a little bit more. In a few minutes, we'll get to what races are actually on the ballot here, but I want to have kind of a more of a general discussion, I guess, on it's a big topic in America, election security. People want to have certainty that the ballots are safe and counted. And I guess to you, Woodbury County Auditor Scaff, how secure and safe would you say are votes when they're being cast and counted here in Woodbury County?
Yes, I think Iowa has very strong legislation, and the security of our elections in Iowa is fantastic. So one of the things that Steve does for every election is we have a testing of the machines. So we basically create every combination possible on a ballot. We run that ballot through every machine in every direction, upside down, backwards. You know, there's four ways, blank ballots that are written, voted with too many things, too few things, and we make sure that machine is working the way it's intended to work. We print out the tape, we make sure the tape is reading correctly based on the tests. So that's one thing that we do for every election. Iowa uses paper ballots. A lot of people, you know, they think it's electronic voting, but it's not electronic voting. It's paper. You fill in your oval on a paper ballot, and you feed that through the machine. The machine does the counting. Those machines are not hooked to the internet, so there's no way for us to have anybody from outside attacking into those tabulators, affecting the count of those ballots that go through. I work closely with emergency management and law enforcement, so they can let me know if there's any threats that we need to be aware of during election day or prior to election day that we need to be concerned about. And then after the election, we have post-elections audit where the state chooses one precinct and we don't know in advance until after the election is over, and we have that precinct is hand counted to make sure that those results match the tally report from the machine. So there's a lot of securities in measure. There's a lot of security measures in place, and I think that the security in Iowa of the elections is top notch.
And I think the voting hours have changed in Iowa finally by a year. It was 8 a.m. to.
It used to be 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., and now it's 7 a.m. to 8 p.m.
So they took an hour off in the evening.
Right? Yes.
So what, and I know it's a high-stress situation, again, as a politics reporter for many years of my life, you know, we're wanting to get the results, you know, and everybody wants to know, yeah, as soon as possible. With all the advances, I guess, over my 20 plus years here in Sioux City, the results are coming sooner. Is that right, Steve? In the evening, with, I know there's, and they're posted to the county website and such. Would you say, what time would a typical election kind of be wrapped up, so to speak?
Well, usually, as long as there's not any issues in a particular polling place, they call in, you know, within 5-10 minutes after they've closed down the election at 8 o'clock. We take the phone calls in the office, and they're entered into a computer system where they're entered twice, so it's double-checked. And these results are always considered unofficial, of course.
Sure.
And we post those on our website. A lot of times we'll have a screen up in the rotunda or somewhere in the courthouse for folks if they want to be there to watch the results, or you can just, you know, view the website from home. So, you know, I would say by a half hour after the polls close, we've got all of our precincts called in.
I guess I'm thinking of the example of the one from 2 weeks ago with the Iowa Senate District 1. Caitlin Dre, it was an open seat because Rocky DeWitt had died, the state senator, and Caitlin Dre won that contest. I think by, it was about 8:20, I took a look, and I you know, I'm looking at, I'm sorry, I should explain this better. I'm looking at the county website, which has all the precincts. It shows, like, I'm going to say there was 14 precincts, and it shows when they're counted and with different colors, yellow or a different color that gets been counted or it's still outstanding. As a user of it, I thought it was fantastic. And I think it was like 8:20 or 8:22, like the results were in, which seemed
one
of the earliest I can recall. And maybe it's easier because there's only was only one race compared to many. But
yeah, and there were only half of the precincts that were open, so we had half of the normal amount. We have 44 precincts total in Woodbury County, and there were 22 precincts that voted in that election. So that kind of helped speed up the process, fewer votes, and yeah, only one contest. So it was a pretty quick return on that one, which was very, very good. I'm hoping that we'll see the same for the city primary. And then when the city school comes around, there's a lot more races. So when you're thinking about data entry, if you have, you know, 20 different numbers to enter as opposed to two, it takes a lot longer. And when we have two people entering those, you could see more of like an hour return or an hour and a half during some of those larger elections with more races involved.
But I guess to step back and ask maybe the question slightly better than what I asked originally, but overall, with the technological advances and such, people, Iowans, are getting the results sooner. Is that a safe statement?
I think so, yes. Yeah. As far as the unofficial results, we try to get those out as quickly as possible. We know how everybody wants to know those answers quick. We want to be accurate, though, so there's still unofficial results that we have to validate the next day. But when we can get those unofficial results out as quickly as possible and as accurately as possible, and that dual entry process really helps with that accuracy, you know, it's great for everyone.
Thank you. My guests for this What's the Frequency show are Woodbury County Auditor Michelle Scaff and the Chief Elections Commissioner in the Auditor's Office, that's Steve Hoffmeyer. And we're discussing the fall elections that are ahead and more on how the elections are carried out. We'll talk some more about more generally throughout Northwest Iowa. But last week was the ending time for people running for Sioux City Council seats. And there was a deluge of people filing at the very last day. There was 9 candidates, so there's 3 positions on the Sioux City Council that are going before voters. And it was a really atypical year. The three current council members are bowing out. You have Alex Waters, Dan Moore, and Matthew O'Kane. None of them are seeking re-election. There's nine people who are seeking election. Again, this is in Sioux City, so this is different. What I'm about to say is different than in other places in Northwest Iowa. But there were the final city council candidate filers were Brett Watchhorn, Marty Potabom, Paul Koskovich, Jessica Lopez-Walker, Ike Rayford, John Denbesti, Nick Davidson, Rick Bertrand, and Craig Berenstein. And because the rules of how the Sioux City Council elections are held, if there's more than two for each position, because there's three positions, if there's more than six candidates, then there is an extra primary election, which is, I guess, an extra chance to vote for people in Sioux City. But that will be held on October 7th. Steve, is there any filing deadlines or anything, voter registration that needs to be known about that for people to get early ballots or how that will be carried out?
Well, the filing deadline for the candidates, of course, was August 28th, and that paperwork was brought to our office on the 29th. But as far as the voters go, they can now currently request absentee ballots to be
mailed
to them.
So that's underway. That is, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then the first day that the ballots will be available for us to either mail to those that have requested ballots or to vote in person will be September 17.
Moving beyond Sioux City because of this kind of extra extra primary election, people have until it's currently underway, the election to file to be on a school board or city council or mayor, that is September 18th. Is that correct?
Yes. So the filing deadline for all of the other cities, with the exception of Sioux City, for the city and the cities in Woodbury County and the schools in Woodbury County, the deadline is September 18th at 5:00 p.m. for them to file. They should go to their city council, or their, not their city council, but their city secretaries and the school secretaries to file. They do not file in the auditor's office for this one. And then those cities and schools will certify those in the auditor's office on the 19th. So we will get the list on the 19th by noon. Western Iowa Tech is involved with this as well. They have an election for Western Iowa Tech. And the interesting thing is that individuals can request an absentee ballot for the city school election right now as well as the primary. So okay. It's important for the individuals requesting a ballot to put the date of that election and to check primary if they're in Sioux City wanting to vote in the primary. So for the primary request, they'll want to check primary and put the date of October 7th. If they're in Sioux City or if they're in the rural areas and they want to vote in the city school, they will check city school and they will put November 4th on there for the date, because that will trigger them to be able to get an absentee ballot for one of the two elections. And that period is open for both of them right now to request those. And as Steve mentioned, we won't be mailing those ballots out until September 17th. So on the 17th, we'll mail the primary ballots out that have been requested. And then later on, 20 days before the city school election, we'll start mailing out the city school ballots.
So that'll be mid-October-ish.
October 15th.
Okay. Thank you for explaining all that. I definitely wanted to make sure that we hit the key timeline pieces with that. So thank you for that, Michelle Scaff and Steve Hoffmeyer both. I want to move to, and you were talking about the timeline to get mailed ballots and such. And I think back to a year ago when you were a candidate and you talked about how you view drop boxes and how you view as the length of period that people should be able to cast early ballots. So, Michelle, could you address that? How you feel like
currently the legislation is that we can start mailing those ballots out 20 days before the election. It used to be a longer period of time, and a lot of people were frustrated when they shortened that to 20 days. And I do believe the 20 days is sufficient time to be able to request a ballot and receive, and I stand by that. The one thing that I have found from working in elections is it is a little bit confusing when we're mailing the ballots on the same day that individuals are coming into the office to receive a ballot to vote. So some people who have requested a ballot to be mailed and they haven't received it in the mail, and then they hear we have voting at the courthouse, they come to the courthouse to vote because they haven't received their ballot. So if we were given maybe 23 to 25 days to start mailing the ballots and then start the in-office voting 20 days, it would be a little bit easier for those individuals who are requesting the ballots to be mailed. So yes, that is one thing, that the 20-day window seems to be sufficient from what I've seen. You know, I'm going to start digging into the numbers a little bit more to actually see what used to happen versus what is happening as we move forward, to see if there are differences in those numbers, because I'm a kind of a numbers person wanting mm-hmm. to look at those. I think you may have referenced the ballot drop box. Mm-hmm. I have removed the ballot drop box. I did that around February or so, right after I took office.
Was that on the south side of the courthouse? Is that where
it was? It was in the alley, off of the alley.
Okay.
Right, that runs... on the south side of the courthouse. And there's two primary reasons why I don't believe that the drop box should be used. One is the staffing that it takes to manage it. We have to have two individuals, one from each party, go out to the box 4 times a day, 7 days a week. As you know, we're not open Saturdays or Sundays, so that puts a burden on my staff. It also adds to the financials of the county having to pay someone, unless I find, you know, a volunteer, which I don't think we want to do that. So the staffing is an issue of managing it the way that it's supposed to be managed, the way the law is written. And then the other reason, which I mentioned this in my campaign, is because of the security of it. There is a camera on it, which is great. However, there's still a chance that somebody could stick an incendiary device in it, do something that could destroy all the ballots in there. And we saw this happen in the state of Washington twice during the last general election. And I don't know if they ever did catch the person. There was a camera on that box. And there were ballots in there that were destroyed that they don't even know how they can quantify how many ballots were destroyed. Coming from a law enforcement background, I may be like hypervigilant when it comes to something like this. But to me, that security risk of destroying those, and then the staffing issue, those are the two main reasons why I have removed it.
Thank you for explaining that, Michelle Scaff. And I guess I just want to go back, and I honestly don't know, so if either of you could fill me in. How long have drop boxes been usable in Iowa or available in Iowa, and how long did Woodbury County have one there?
2020 was the first year I believe they used them.
So pretty short.
It was due
pretty short
to COVID.
Okay.
They wanted to make it easier for individuals to return their ballots without having to social distance. And at that time, they were allowed to have two ballot drop boxes. We had one in the front side of the courthouse and then the one in the alley. And then I think it was within the next year that the legislation said to that each auditor could have one ballot drop box, and it was at the discretion of the auditor if they maintained it or not.
Thank you, Michelle Scaff. And my last few questions here before we wrap up for this show, What's a Frequency? I believe, again, this is kind of talking off the top of my head here for what I think I've reported in the past, but it seems that more and more people in the political parties seem to like banking the votes early, as opposed to maybe, again, 20 years ago when I was starting here in Woodbury County. Is that seem to be an increasing trend, that more of the votes that come in are early votes compared to people who go and vote on the actual election day?
I think the number of early voters has definitely increased. You know, we just want to make sure that the people know that when they vote early, or if they vote by mail, their ballots are secured in the courthouse until election day. Sometimes for the general elections, when we have a large quantity, we can start the day before, but that's when we start opening the envelopes and processing ballots, just to make sure that we can get everything processed and finished by 8 p.m. on election day.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think our statistics show that a little over 50% vote absentee. And we include the in-person voting and the absentee ballot. So when people come to the courthouse and vote, they're actually voting in-person absentee.
Okay. Thank you for that stat as well. What do you think that people misunderstand about how elections carried out, like common misconceptions that you maybe are pushing back against?
Well, I think that people possibly don't understand the different types of election. There's so many different variations of elections. There's primaries, there's general elections, there's city school elections. And I think that maybe we can be better about getting information out about what the type of elections is. It's always very busy during elections, and time management is very important. One of the things that I want to work on, and I tried a little bit during the special election, is putting some more news flashes out on our website. I did make one that I thought was kind of nice, that individuals could go on there and go on the county website, and they could see the featured election of the time and click on that, find out where their polling location is and a little bit about that election. Another thing that I'm working on is starting a Facebook page. That's something that we need to make sure we have the proper staffing to manage it, because it is kind of a task of itself, but I think it's such a great tool to use social media to get some of that information out there. So I think that will help with some of the questions, and that will also give individuals a forum that they can send us a question if they have a specific question about an election. And we do have email set up on the website that they can just click a link. And for elections, it'll send an email to myself or to Steve, and then we can answer specific questions. And we get one or two of those during an election, one or two a day during, you know, kind of slower times, maybe one a week or so. And we have those set up for the recorders, for the auditor finance side and the election side. So there are some good resources out there, but there's some other ways that I think we can be a little bit better about pushing some of that information out. So that's what we're going to be trying to do in the coming years and coming elections.
Okay, so just to before we wrap here, some of the key timelines in the city of Sioux City only, there is a primary election for the Sioux City Council position. There are three positions going up before voters that will be decided in November. There are currently 9 candidates, and because of that higher amount than the threshold for I guess the rules or the procedures, there will be a special city election in Sioux City only on October 7th, and those 9 candidates will be dropped down to 6, who will then go on the November ballot. Am I saying that correct?
That's correct. So each individual will vote for 3 out of the 9.
Okay, thank you.
So the top 6 of those 9 will go on to be on the ballot in November. So in November is when the candidate actual will win the election.
Right, and then for those outside of Sioux City, outside of Sioux City and then the rest of Iowa, or most generally the rest of Iowa, there are public school board elections, there are city council elections, and then also mayor elections throughout much of Iowa. So that's what's ahead for November, and thank you guys both for coming in here. That'll be a wrap for this edition of What's a Frequency. Many thanks to my guests for this What's a Frequency. We had Woodbury County Auditor Michelle Scaff and Chief Elections Commissioner Steve Hoffmeyer. We discussed the fall elections, as we just heard, and more kind of election-type topics. So thank you. That was a great topic, or great conversation. So thank you guys for both coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
As we move deeper into a second year for the show, thanks for being a part of our station as we work every day to tell the stories about Siouxland that inform, entertain, and expand the mind. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week. What's a Frequency airs on Fridays at 10 a.m. and again on Sundays at 2 p.m. Make sure you also check out a few of our Siouxland Public Media music shows that air at 10 p.m. We have Hip Hop Chronicles on Thursdays. We have Mixtape Dance Party on Fridays with Earl Horlick. And we have 10 o'clock blues on Saturdays with Stumpy Steve Smith. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Brett Hayes.